We're so glad you came to worship with us today on Father's Day, having a good time here today. We're going to look at some mighty men of God today, just briefly, as we continue our series on faith for today. We don't need faith for yesterday, right? And faith for the future has to be released today. Because the only way our future is going to change is if we learn how to operate and walk in the things of God. So what we do with what we have is not only important to us, but it's important to God also. You know, God is always looking for someone who will take him at his word. You know, many times while we're waiting on God for something, God is actually waiting on us to take him at his word and to step out in faith and do something. You know, God is always on the move. He's always wanting to do something, and he wants to do it through us. It's very humbling. Really, that God chooses to work through men and women of God to be able to, make a difference in this world. We're going to pick up where I left off last week. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. We're going to look at the Amplified Bible. It says, "For by," then it says, "faith, trust, and holy fervor, born of faith, the men of old have divine testimony born to them, and they obtained a good report." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the inspiration that we have through the Scriptures. Holy Spirit, we ask you to have your way here today. Just move mightily in our midst. We thank you that you're the ultimate teacher. You're the one that brings revelation knowledge to us, that rhema word that we all need. Lord, I yield to the gift you've given me, and you put it inside me, Lord, and I want to give you the glory for that. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God is a good God, and we're going to kind of give him the glory today. See, we live in perilous times, and we need to learn how to stand strong no matter what the circumstances. You know, we live a life that's fairly complicated. You know, you think all the technology that we have today would make things simpler, and it does in some ways, because I don't write in English. I don't know what I write in. So I'm glad for typing. At least I can read, you know, what I put down later on. But, you know, I spent probably, 4 hours trying to hook up a printer the other couple days. Here at the church, I got a new laptop, and my other one was about 6 or 7 years old, and all my life is on that laptop, so I thought I better not roll the dice much longer, and I got another one. Well, then I piddled with it for a little bit, and so finally I set up the printer the other day, and I hit the wrong button. Have you ever hit a wrong button before? Well, I set up a new network, which I shouldn't have. I should have tapped into the old network. And anyway, that disconnected Denise's laptop and my old laptop from the printer. You think I could fix that right off the bat? I spent most of Wednesday evening. Denise had a little thing where she was making some Father's Day cards. And, you know, I fixed that. And then the next day, you know, I finally got it hashed out. But, you know, sometimes you just make a wrong move. You know, it's going to cost you some time. And see, we can make a lot of wrong moves unless we really know the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we live in these perilous times, and God wants us to be able to understand what he has for our life. So it talks here about men of old gained approval. So my first question I want to say today is, you know, what is our reputation? I don't know if you have a reputation. I used to have one. I suppose I still do have one. I used to have a bad reputation. Now hopefully I have a good reputation. But we all have a reputation. We're known for something. Right? We're known by something, and usually we're judged by a reputation because of the actions that we have taken or what we've done, you know? And so, you know, we need to see that we got to be careful about what we're known for. You know, you and I are three people, not me, myself, and I, but what we are is, number one, is how we see ourselves. Number two, how other people see us. And then thirdly, how God sees us. So we're three different people. And it's very important that we understand, you know, just because three different opinions, and, you know, there's only one that's probably really correct, that really is correct, because we tend to over-evaluate ourselves, meaning we're better, and other people usually under-evaluate us, means we're worse. But the truth is, God sees us for who we really are. And that's the information that we need. That's how we start to grow. You know, we take spiritual inventory and we start to see things. And, you know, I know sometimes when we live by faith and we operate by faith and you're praying for things, you're wanting to see things change in your life or your family's life. And I know there's sometimes that struggle, sometimes the tension. That happens when you pray and you don't see it manifest right before you right now. So I know about that. It's all part of the battle. It's all part of the things that you and I go through. But see, we've got to hang on. You know, we have mountain-moving faith. Amen. There's only one thing I know that really will move a mountain, and that's faith. Amen. And we need to be the kind of people, the people of God, that are willing to step out and do it. Now, what the word gained approval, if you want to gain approval, it's talking about bearing witness. So faith means that we must be willing to testify or be a witness. There's a couple ways that we testify. Number one, we open our mouth. We need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We need to, you know, brag on him and tell him, tell people about the great things he's done. But also, we witness by what we do. Sometimes how people look at us and our actions, you know, those are very important also, and that's what makes an impact. And we're going to look at a couple men here, just kind of mention briefly, you know, how men of old gained approval or had a reputation. You know, it started off kind of with Abraham to a degree. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, every man probably would like to sacrifice their kid sometime. You know what I mean? You know, on one of those days when they're getting on your nerves. But this was a serious sacrifice. This is the real thing. God told him, he says, Abraham, I want you to go and take your son. He's probably around 14 years old, so he could have fought back a little bit. But told him to go and take him and offer him up. Now, you have to remember, Abraham was promised a son. He was promised somebody that would carry on his name. And it never happened for years and years and years and years and years. Then all of a sudden it happened. Happy. Well, now God told him to take this great gift that he had given him and offer it up as a sacrifice. Well, it was a test. And Abraham passed with flying colors. But it was kind of proof because Abraham was willing to offer up his son. And that opened the door for the Heavenly Father to open up his son for you and I. Jesus went through with what Abraham did not. But yet Abraham, because of that act of faith, he didn't put it off. It was instantaneous action. God told him to go and offer up on this mountain, and the next day packed up and went. Didn't put it off, didn't wait. He had that kind of faith. Also, we know that Job was a man of God who gained approval. You know, he lost everything. And he even lost his health. I don't know about you, but when you don't feel good, does that affect your faith? When you don't feel good, does that kind of have an effect on how you look at life and how you deal with God? You know, we get the poor me's, the, you know, all that. But Job, he held on. You know, his wife even told him, why don't you just curse God and die? How many love a good woman right behind you? Amen. You know, but anyway, he just kept going. He kept trusting God. Noah, you know, he was asked to build an ark. Now to us, that don't look too bad, but it hadn't rained yet. They didn't really know what that was. And he built this big boat, and everybody thought he was crazy. How many of your friends think you're crazy? Because you're a Christian. You know what I'm saying? You know, they just think you're nuts. You know, but here Noah built that ark, and he was able to save him and his family. What kind of ark are you wanting to build to save your family? What are you willing to do to save your family? It's that important. Joshua, I mean, he was Moses' right-hand man, and then Moses made a kind of a big mistake, and anyway, God wouldn't let him go in the promised land. So Joshua, he was called to be the next leader, next man up. Okay? So they went across, they parted the river and went over there, and God says, I want you to march around, you know, the city, and then on the seventh time, I want you to go around seven times. So here he took his army, and they marched around the walls, then went back and sat down, went back to camp. I'm sure it looked kind of silly. I'm sure you feel kind of silly. But you know, when he did it God's way, what happened? He gained approval. Because what happened is when he went around the seven times and they shouted, the walls just dropped down. You know, he gained approval. I mean, sometimes God may ask us to do some silly things, but we've got to do it anyway. Now, Daniel, he was put in the lion's den. You know, I like watching reels about Africa and stuff. I get onto that. Lions are nobody to mess with. You know, they kind of, you know, they're called the king of the beast for a reason. But Daniel, he would pray to God with the windows open because he wanted them. He just wasn't going to hide nothing. Well, then the leaders of that time was jealous of him. Has anybody ever been jealous of you because you're a Christian? You know, they see that, you know, you're pretty serious about it. And so what they did is they kind of tricked the king a little bit to get Daniel thrown in the lion's den. Well, God showed up big time, closed those lions' mouths, and then he was delivered. He spent the night with the lions. Also, we know about Apostle Paul, many hardships of planting churches he had. He was beaten with rods, he was stoned, he was spent some time floating around the ocean, you know, just a lot of bad things. But he hung in there. He wouldn't quit. See, if you don't quit, you will get to where you need to be. That's one thing I've learned from a lot of old seasoned ministers, you know, and I remember one of them, he has passed on and be with the Lord right now, and somebody was, you know, everybody, he's big on doing missionary work and cast out a lot of demons, you know. I mean, they would just cry out at his meetings and just, you know, just get delivered. And some young guy kind of one knows says, you know, brother, what's the key? What's the key to your ministry of why you're so successful? And the guy said, I didn't quit. So-and-so quit. All these, he went through several names of people who started off with him, but they quit. You just can't quit. Where are you going to go? Huh? You tried the world. It wasn't good enough, and you became a Christian. So where do you go now? There's nowhere to go. We just have to keep going.
Amen.
See, when there's nowhere to go, just keep going.
Thank you.
Just keep walking in faith and starting to see the power of God start to move in our life. And, you know, believe me, the devil's going to back down. He has to. So you and I, you know, as we live out our faith in a hostile world which hates us, that's how we gain approval. We gain approval with God because we're not ready to throw in the towel. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to go off and, you know, start getting the pity party, but I'm just going to keep on moving. See, what we fail to realize, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I used to think these guys were special. You know what I mean? Sometimes we think, well, God maybe gave them a script. You know what I mean? And they just told, you know, for Abraham and Job and all these guys, you know, and Noah, God just gave them a script. And they were just acting out this script. But no, they were just common everyday people, just like you and I. But they took God at his word. That's the key. Taking God at his word. And when they did that, then things started to happen. God started to move. God started to do things. And see, and I, you know, I don't want to put any hard feelings on us, but we have a better playbook than they did. We have the whole Bible. These guys didn't have a Bible, you know? And so we have all this information, all this revelation, all these things at our disposal. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So it's so important that we get that word inside of us so we can change this world. This world needs to change by the power of God.
Amen.
You know, it's a mess because sin is running rampant. We know it is, and we know the Bible says it will, but that doesn't mean we just give up. Oh, God said we're going to have hard times, so I'm just going to deal with it, you know. But the thing is, we need to fight back.
Yes.
We need to move that mountain. We need to see things start to change, and we're going to do that by the Word of God. One thing that I found out is the fact that God always honors faith. He will always honor faith, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Everybody was touching Jesus, just wanted to get a touch. But when she touched him, she was healed because she touched him with faith. When we reach out in faith and touch God, that's when we get the touch. See, I found out in my life that we can only grow in faith to a certain level until we act on what we know to be true. You know, there's textbook faith, and then there's life, real life faith. See, what we learn in here, and I hope I'm, you know, giving you some good information that you can kind of, you know, meditate on and, you know, put in your heart and then want to, but the thing is, until you act on it, it's not really yours. We got to do it. We got to step out. We got to make it happen. And we need to take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way to grow in faith. Because after we release our faith, we need to remain faithful for the follow through. That means just standing strong. It doesn't matter. That mountain, it still may be there, but it ain't going to move, but I ain't going to move either. I'm not moving until that mountain moves. Mountain moving faith. You know, then in Hebrews, you know, chapter 11, verse 6, which these two passages kind of tied together. And it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So here we're talking about God-pleasing faith, and that kind of ties in with men of old gained approval. So what do we have to do to be able to tap in to what God says here? See, it says it's impossible to please God without faith. So pleasing God is a side effect of our faith. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, you get, as a father, you get proud of your children. You know, you're proud of them all the time, but aren't you really proud when they do it the right way? You know, when they finally are doing something and following, you know, in the ways of God. See, we can't get into flesh because Romans chapter 8, verse 8 says, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we have to stay in the spirit and not get in the flesh. Because not by works of the flesh, so striving will not get us there. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and you know, they were really striving. They were trying too hard. Have you ever tried too hard? You know what I mean? You just get on something, and they was, you know, they didn't feel that they were good enough doing a certain thing. And I listened to them, and I listened to them for about an hour. And finally I just said, you're good enough. And they started crying. You're good enough. Not by you, but by he that's in you. It's because of God. You can't strive. We can't keep fighting to be perfect. We'll never make perfection. But we can make maturity. Being able to walk in the things of God. Knowing and understanding about the power that's in the blood of Jesus. That when we stumble, we can repent and we can get clean again.
Amen.
Amen. Get back to the place and the relationship that God has for us. Because nobody's going to be perfect. You know, if you're trying to be perfect, you're going to exhaust yourself. You'll never make it. You might even, you know, who knows, get so offended that you turn back, you beat yourself up all the time. See, entrance to the presence of God is not paved by things we have done, but by what Jesus has done for us. That's how we get into the presence of God. That's how we get into the place that God wants us to be. And really, one of the bad habits that we pick up in life is that the more we do, the more we're accepted. And God bless us parents, we make that mistake. You know, we reward our children when they do things right, correct? And we should, but yet we need to explain to them it's not like that with God. You don't have to keep doing things to get accepted into the kingdom of heaven because we're sending a false sense of security, thinking that by what they do is going to gain them into entrance into the kingdom of God because it's not like that. It's by grace. It's by grace through faith. And that's a totally different concept. And I'll be honest, I've watched some people struggle at that. They don't like it. You mean all I have to do is trust? Yeah. Oh, no. I got to do something. See, I don't feel good about myself unless I'm doing it. Unless I'm doing the right things. Unless people are saying, good job. You know what I'm saying? And so they struggle with that revelation. And we have to get past that because it's going to cause us to miss. I remember, you know, in Bible school, there's more of the works righteousness going on and when you're first year of Bible school in about a year time because you're wanting to show off to everybody else. Well, look how spiritual I am. Look what I do. Look what I've done. You know, I deserve to be here. You know, I'm God's chosen, you know. So they're trying all these things and, you know, God's just up there giggling, saying, what are you doing? What are you trying for like that, man? You can't make it. There's nothing in you that's good. It's only I that's in you. And when we get that revelation, man, it takes a lot of pressure off. And we need to get to that place. See, our motive, and that's the key. I fall back to this periodically. Our motive depicts whether we are in works righteousness or in the righteousness of God that comes by faith. See, it's the motive for why we do things. And we need to check ourselves. You know, and ask ourselves, you know, why am I feeling I have to do this? Why am I feeling that, you know, if I pray 45 minutes, it's not enough? I need to pray an hour. Why do I feel that if I, you know, read for an hour, that's not enough? I need to pray, I need to read for an hour and a half. You know, those are all good. The more words you get in, that's fine. The more prayer you do, that's great. But if you're doing it to get God's attention, if you think you're doing it to gain approval, then it's not going to work. That's not how the relationship with our Heavenly Father works. So we kind of need to find out, is that, are we serving God out of love, or are we serving Him to gain acceptance? I've found that works will get limited results, while faith will get unlimited results. You know, we get limited results by works, just by doing the right thing, law of sowing and reaping. I know how those things kind of work. But if we really want to get to the place where we have unlimited, where things are just off the charts, well, that comes by faith. And to be honest, fellowship with God cannot exist without faith. You know, it says that we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. You know, what is God? You know, God is self-existing. We're not. This really complicates your brain. I mean, if you try to figure out where God came from, it's going to wear you out. Sometimes you just got to accept. I accept that there's a God. But I Googled the other day. Do you know? Google's got to be right, right? There's 18,000 gods. 18,000. That's a lot. But only one's real. Only one's true. There can only be one creator. We have to decide who that is. Well, I believe it's Jehovah. I believe it's the God of the Jews, and then through Jesus Christ came Him, and now it's the God of the church. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we have to get that stuff. Who is God, and what is God to you? I mean, do you really believe deep down in your heart there can be all these other religions and they can make it to heaven? Well, if that's true, then you don't have a lot of faith in your own. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one, that means nobody, can come to the Father except through me. Amen. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can have access to the Father. So we have to get some of these things settled in our heart so our faith to be functioning properly. You know what I mean? We have to get it to where it's going to really, really work. And I'll be honest, sometimes it looks like we live like there is no God. I did. I lived like there was no God. I was my God unto myself. You know, I could do, I can do whatever I want when I want just because I want to. Now, that's the American dream. But as a Christian, that doesn't really how it connects, is it? You know, we have to submit ourselves and to be under authority, be under the authority of God. To live a successful life. You know, our God, it amazes me, He desires an intimate relationship with, while these other false gods don't. I mean, these other false gods, sometimes, you know, in the other religions, you know, man was made to just, you know, be a subservient person to these gods. But our God is different. God brought us in the relationship through Jesus Christ, and He says we're going to rule and reign with Him. We're part of God's family. It's not that, you know, it's just amazing. Who could have thunk this stuff up? I know thunk's not a word, but I mean, who could dream this up? You know, you think about it. If I were going to start a religion, and I'm not, I wouldn't have said there's going to be a physical resurrection of the body. I mean, that's the proof right there, man. All these other religions, they believe, oh, your spirit and your soul, your inner person, this consciousness is going to live forever. Well, you can't really prove that till you die. You know what I'm saying? Then you find out. But that's too late. You know what I mean? It's too late then. But see, Christianity, through Jesus Christ, He says, you know, God said He's going to raise that body up. And that body's never been found in a grave anyway. Right now, it's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen? When Jesus came back to life, He appeared to many people. I mean, it could be easily disproven, but it's written in the Scriptures. It's written in other books that, you know, Jesus appeared to other people. I mean, man, that's a hard way of proving it. You know what I mean? But God knew He could do it. He rose Him from the dead. And that's why I put my faith totally in Christianity. And what it has, and because, you know, relationship really needs to be built on trust. And that just takes anything. Think of the relationships you're in right now. You know, you build that relationship on trust where you trust each other, right? What happens if that trust is broken? Well, then it's sometimes restoration is difficult. You know, but we need to have trust with God. And last thing I want to look at today is the idea that God is a rewarder. Now, reward is the benefit of relationship. We get a benefit with relationship with God. And, you know, to me, heaven would have been good enough. Not having to go to hell, that sounds like quite a deal to me. But God has so much more. So much more for you and I. So much more to enjoy while we're still on this planet. While we're still living this life. Hopefully living the dream. Amen? You know, but God has so much more. And see, we have to get to the point where we believe that God is a rewarder and not a withholder of the good things. Some people's initial revelation of God, sometimes growing up because of maybe people's false information that was put out, usually, you know, sometimes I believe God's kind of mean. Number one, the fact that he sends people to hell. Technically, he's not sending people to hell, we send ourselves there. Because God made a way out. You know, he made a way out through Jesus Christ. But, you know, we have that. And then they think that, you know, back in, you know, people, God bless them, but they'd kind of, you know, try to scare people. You know, God's going to get you for that. You know, tell the little kid, oh, you lied. Oh, God's really disappointed. I mean, man, God's getting a bad rap there. God's not disappointed. God sent Jesus to pay for stuff like that. You know what I mean? If God's disappointed in anybody, he's disappointed in that parent trying to use God as a scapegoat to threaten their children to behave. Think about it. Got quiet all of a sudden, didn't it? We've all made that mistake, haven't we? Try to maybe scare our kids into doing something, maybe, I don't know. But see, it's more than just believing God is, but, you know, God wants us to pursue him. It talks about being a diligent seeker and not a casual inquirer. That means we go after God more than once. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes, you know, we go after God, and, you know, I still remember people, it's hard to keep a straight face, and they tell me, I tried God. I go, what? They say, I tried God. Didn't work for me. I said, oh, really? How long did you try it? Well, once. So you're telling me that you're going to try somebody you can't see and you've never even read the book. You know what I mean? So did you really try, or did you just phone it in? You know, we don't try God, we do God.
Amen.
You know, we go after God.
Thank you.
We pursue him. We want him. We want to have a relationship with him. So it's more than just believing. And we got to be in the place that, you know, we want to really seek after God, because, you know, I don't serve God for rewards, but rewards is a benefit or a side effect of that pursuit. See, you may love your job. Does anybody really love their job? It's not really a job. It's a career. You just enjoy it. Oh, man, this is awesome. Nobody? I do. I love my job. Okay. It's so rewarding to have a career. But is that paycheck nice too? You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm very fulfilled with what I do, but boy, that paycheck's kind of handy. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of a side effect of me, you know, showing up, doing what I'm supposed to do, because God, he rewards pursuit. Okay? And what we have to have sometimes is faith, because faith stands strong in the face of delay. And that's what we got to have. Bible says in James chapter 1:17, it says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God's not a respecter of persons, but every good thing comes from God. We need to see it that way. You know, every good thing comes from God. And what is faith's reward? Number one, eternal life. That's awesome. Number two, heaven. Heaven looks like a good place to be, right? Three, answered prayer. How many likes their prayers answered?
Amen.
And also, intimate presence. I don't know about you, but I really felt God on that last song we sang today. I thought that was awesome. You know, it just, you could feel the presence of God. And that intimate presence of the Father, the creator of the heavens and earth, wants to come to our little town, to our church, and show up and let us feel his presence. That's awesome. So don't think that God never has time for you. Don't think that God's too busy, because God will make time for you. He can handle everything. So what we need to do is keep our eye on the rewarder and not just the reward. And that's the mistake we make sometimes. Sometimes we get so caught up in the blessing that we miss the blesser, because the blesser really has so much more for us. And so that's why we need to focus on the relationship and build the relationship with God, and with that comes all these other things. So we know that faith gives us a good reputation, and faith will get us a reward. But faith is not something we put in the bank to gain interest. Faith is something we release to get results. Amen? So faith is not something that we hoard for ourselves. You know, faith is something that we release into this world, you know, and we start to see things change. Jesus says he's waiting for us to make his enemies his footstool. Praise God. He's wanting the church, which is an army, to rise up. Amen. And to be able to go forth in his name. There's a lot of people out there that need to know Jesus. I know a long time ago I did. But somebody came and they talked to me about it. You know, there's people out there that we need to be talking to. I want to charge us today and challenge us to make that step as we close in prayer. Every head bowed and eye closed.